This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You really want it. Get down on it. You gotta feel it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Get down on it. Come on.
Yeah, the Kingside Diner is rocking today, and it's not the one in the West End. Frank, we've expanded here. We're in Clayton.
Boy, it's sharp, isn't it?
I like how we say we. The food is out. The food's awesome here. You knew that already about Kingside Diner. This location, I think the building is Clayton on the Park. It's Bonham and Brentwood. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. Andy McCollum is stopping by in the noon hour. A lot of Super Bowl talk. And, Frank, right now, you had the tackle author yesterday, Mike Jones. We can't have the tackle without talking about the catch in St. Louis lore.
Yes, and the man who this catch is so spectacular is that Isaac Bruce, who's going to go into the Hall of Fame, I believe, on Saturday night. When you ask him, what's the biggest catch of your career, he says it was Ricky Prohl's catch in the NFC Championship game against the Buccaneers. He joins us now. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
Frank, it's good. Good to hear your voice. Marty, you too,
tell
buddy.
Us,
how are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. You're in Atlanta. This is a heck of a reunion, isn't it, for you guys this weekend?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing to look back and think about, you know, beating the Titans and running around the field with a great group of guys and Austin on my shoulders. And now he's playing with the Rams. It's kind of crazy how turn of events. But it's neat. And like Frank said, I'm so excited for Isaac. I'm just praying that he gets in. He should get in. He deserves to be in. And it'll be a great celebration. It'll be good. Him get in and then the Rams win.
Well, we'll settle for one of those two, actually.
I don't know about that, buddy. I don't know if you heard they moved, and we're slightly bitter. I don't know if you can imagine us being bitter, us media types.
I know.
I understand. I always say you guys are the kids in the divorce. It's fine. We still love you guys. Mom and Dad just had a fight. That's all. Where will you be game time? Will you be in the building?
I'll be in the stands, yeah. I mean, I got to root for the Rams. My son's on the Rams. I mean, you know, believe me, he told me on several occasions that he likes L.A., but he wishes he's got a lot of great memories in St. Louis. So he wishes they were still in St. Louis.
So, Rick, tell us from the greatest show on turf, who you down there with?
I am actually solo right now. My family's coming in. I haven't seen anybody yet. I know Tori will be down here. I think Marshall. Obviously Isaac, but I haven't run into any of them yet. I'm heading to practice, so I may see a couple of them there.
Rick, a lot of people don't realize this, but after your great career where you caught 669 balls, you became a really good offensive coach with the Carolina Panthers as a wide receivers coach. So from a technical standpoint, I'm wondering if the Patriots don't try to employ the same strategy they used against you to beat them in the Super Bowl when they beat you in the Super Bowl as what they're going to do this Sunday, where they just kind of beat up the wide receivers at the line of scrimmage.
Frank, I tend to agree with you. I think they will try to do that, disrupt some of their routes early on, trying to get their hands on the receivers, you know, and just disrupt the timing. And they obviously did a good job of that against us, and then the Rams do a lot of the things that we did back in the day with the, you know, the play action passes, the crossing routes, the rub routes, and switch releases. So I think they're probably going to have that same typical game plan, try to put pressure on the quarterback, but try to disrupt that timing early with the receivers getting up in their face and playing man.
Ricky, I would think in Atlanta, before you play the Titans, you guys felt for sure you were going to win. You guys have been that dominant all year. And then 2 years later in New Orleans, I'm assuming it was sort of the same vibe. We've talked to some people this week that worked for the Rams, played for the Rams. Did it ever cross your mind in New Orleans? Because we didn't know much about Brady Belichick back then. Did it even seem possible that they could beat you guys?
No. And I do think you know, were we overconfident? I don't know if we were overconfident, but we were a confident football team. We just knew if we hit on cylinders, if we did what we've done for the last 3 years that nobody could stop us. And they obviously came up with a great game plan, did some things that took us out of sync a little bit, and I think we got away from the run game. And then we got from behind, and we played a different brand of football that we were accustomed to playing that year. And I think we got rattled a little bit, and we felt the pressure, and obviously we were able to get back in it, but we just didn't do it when we need to, and I think some of it was probably some overconfidence going into that game.
It's interesting because in that game, you catch the touchdown, make the great play with 1:30 to go, but like with Warner against Pittsburgh, there was too much time left on the clock, and I'm wondering, while you're celebrating and excited about the touchdown, are you thinking, boy, 1:30, that's a lot of time left?
No, because we didn't know what Brady was capable of then. You look at it, we tackled him inside the 20-yard line. I think they had the ball on the 17-yard line. They had no timeouts. You know, that's a tough task. I know they just needed a field goal, but still, just confident in our defense. We had a great defense, you know. We had... I think enough isn't said about our defense and what they did and what they accomplished over that period of time. And I think, we didn't think at that time, man, it's too much. It's not the Brady we know now. Now you give him 40 seconds and that's an eternity for Tom Brady. But a minute 20 on his own 17 with no timeout, I thought we're in good shape. We're going to overtime.
And it wasn't just New England in Super Bowl 36. 2 years later, they got you when you were playing with Carolina. You've seen a whole lot of New England, haven't you, in your life on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, I'm tired of New England. I mean, it's a lot of respect for what they've been able to do the last two decades. It's amazing. I mean, you're watching the best, you know, tandem in Tom Brady and Belichick, and I don't think Josh. I mean, I don't think enough said about him as an offense coordinator. But I think I think it's time for Dan. I just don't know if it'll be this year or not because of their experience. And you know, it's kind of like the opposite. They're the veteran football team, and the Rams are young team, kind of starry-eyed, and this is kind of a big moment for them. And so it's going to be interesting.
Rick, are you amazed that Mike Martz never got a chance to be a head coach, being 20 games over 500 and the author of The Greatest Show on Turf?
But I being a coach now, you kind of understand why. It's a fraternity, and I think to be completely frank, I think Mike burned some bridges, you know, because it's not because of what he knows, because he's one of the smartest men that I've ever been around when it comes to X's and O's. I learned so much from the man and what he was able to do with us and the things that we did. He was ahead of his time, and it was truly amazing. And he should be a coach in the National Football League. But like I said, it's a close-knit fraternity, and I think, just like players, sometimes it happens with coaches, and I think it's going to be hard for him to get back in.
Whenever the Super Bowl rolls around, are you nostalgic for Super Bowl 34, what all took place? I mean, to me, I remember the weird things. First of all, I missed the parade because I was flying back from Atlanta that day. And people, the players still talk about that. I also remember the party that night. Grant Wistrom just sobered up, but he was palling around with Vince Vaughn was at the Rams party doing shots with Grant Wistrom. And I'm still like, why was Vince Vaughn? It was a weird – what do you remember about that week and that night?
I remember it just being a nonstop just partying from the time we got off the field and got it to the hotel. From Grant to Scanina to a bunch of us, just from the time we got back to St. Louis, went to the facility, dumped our stuff off, went to another couple bars, and then next thing you know, it was the parade, and it was one thing after another, and it was a long 48 hours, man. That some of it I remember, some of it I don't. But it was one of the best times just to be around a group of guys that just selfless, cared about each other, loved each other. It was amazing. To go from worst to first was just the most amazing experience. And then just being in that locker room with that group of guys, and it's still, I mean, we just group text still over the years, we still all just group text and stay in contact. And it's just so neat to just, you know, hey, champs, what's going on? They just, you know, from whether it's Dexter McLeon or Torrey or Isaac or Kurt, it's just, I mean, it's forever. We're champs. And it's that's how they start the text. Hey, champs, how we doing today? You know, it's just an amazing group of men. And Coach Ramil, a lot of times on that text. And even Mike Martz has been on those group texts. But, you know, it's just amazing what Dick did and Charlie Army and bringing that whole group together is just awesome.
So you played with the greats and you played against the greats and you coached against the greats. I'm wondering, that stretch with Warner, did any quarterback ever play at a higher level or more accurate? And what was that like receiving his ball, always hitting you, you know, in the numbers?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ever done what we've done offensively and how we did it. I think you got – the game has changed, and obviously it's a passing game now, and they throw a lot more. But I think we started that whole era, the change of and no, I don't know if anybody threw a better ball. Kurt threw a ball where you could run through it. I mean, it was just – had such a great touch and accuracy to where it was so easy to catch. And his anticipation was amazing, and there were times I tell people there were times where we go 2-3 weeks at a time where the ball never hit the ground, not just in games and practice. I mean, it was just it was phenomenal. And this is someone who played 10 years on some, you know, some bad teams, but even the good teams. I look at, you know, the teams with the Colts and the Panthers, and there were times where sometimes the ball wasn't caught for a week, you know, and obviously not with Peyton, but. Jake was more of a gamer. Then we'd go and practice sometimes, and it was ugly. But, no, I think Kurt was as efficient and prolific as any quarterback that's played a game when he was on in that time era.
Super Bowl champion Ricky Prohl, 669 career receptions. Of course, most notably, Martin's preseason Rams analyst in the summer of 2006. That's high on the resume. I'm wondering about Isaac Bruce, what you knew of him then and now, because for Frank and I, Isaac's perception, our perception of him has changed dramatically. We get him on now, we can't shut him up. He's funny, he's talking.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was just in game mode or didn't serve it up to the media, but the Isaac I see and talk to now is wildly different from the guy I remember in the locker room. What about you?
Oh, well, you told it at an event in St. Louis, you and I were discussing. I'm up there just jaw open, just hearing Ike address the fans, the sponsors, it's so refreshing to see what he's doing in the St. Louis community, how he has stayed true to just his foundation and the money they've raised for the cause that he's raised. But just to see him be outspoken and talk and just express himself. It's something that I've never seen. You know, obviously we saw it one-on-one, but not in front of a group. He never wanted to address the team or address. He would never say anything. He led by example. That was Isaac. I mean, he did an amazing job of doing that in practice and in games, but he wasn't a verbal leader. He never said boo, really. And now to hear him talk and get in front of a group of people and show his vision, his passion of what he's trying to accomplish through his foundation is awesome. It's an amazing to see. And I'm just praying that he gets in because he is so deserving of it. And I would love to be in Canton and celebrate to see him get inducted.
Boy, as a foursome, when you think about it, okay, Isaac's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Torrey's got a chance. You're sitting there with 600-plus catches. And then Oz may have been the most dangerous of the four. What a group for a short period of time.
Yeah, I just, you know, obviously I'm selfish because of our group, but I don't think you can take four receivers and Marshall Faulk, and I don't think there's any better, in my opinion. Like you said, Oz may have been the most dangerous out of all of them. And we just had our strength, and that's where I think Mike did such a great job of putting us all in a position of what our strengths were and just – utilized and gave us each a package of what we were going to do in every week. And it was just it was fun to be a part of. It was fun to see him do what he did and how he utilized us. And, I mean, Isaac was probably the most all-around out of everybody. I mean, he can play outside and inside. But his change of direction and getting in and out was amazing. And then Oz, his ability once he got the ball in his hand. And, Torrey was just a great route runner. He came out of college just NFL ready. I mean, just a polished route runner and just strong hands and smart. And then Marshall, I mean, Marshall is a receiver out of the backfield. You can line up anywhere, and he was one of the smartest football players that I ever had the privilege to play with. It was a talented group, and I don't think there was, like I said, there was five of them that you put together on a football team that, you know, was any better.
And, Ricky, you mentioned Austin, your son. Tell everybody what he's with the Rams organization now. I think, was he in New England's camp this summer?
He was in Buffalo. He got drafted by Buffalo. And, you know, again, I'm kind of selfish a little bit and biased, but I felt like he didn't get a fair shot. And he's a great route runner. He can run. He's got great speed. He's amazing in and out. Cuts. And he's got hands. He didn't get a shot. They cut him, the last cut. And then me and him were training for about 5-6 weeks, and then he went and worked out for 4 or 5 teams, had some good workouts, and then the Rams ended up signing him. He's been there since October.
And you got out of coaching because you wanted to see your kids more, correct?
Correct. Yep. I got a younger one in East Carolina that had a good freshman year, and I think he's got a bright future. And then I think Austin's a matter of time. I think he's in a great situation right now. I spend more time with the family, watching the boys play. I spent more time at Prolific Park, growing my business and training, doing a lot of personal training on the side, training high school kids, college guys, and NFL guys. I'm doing some combine prep right now for some college kids, getting them ready for the combine.
Rick, great to hear your voice. We want everything. We want happiness for you, except this Sunday for about 3 hours.
Oh, I totally understand. I totally get it. Believe me, there's a lot of people that the old Rams love St. Louis, and we wish. I know I wish they never left. It's the greatest sports town in our country, in my opinion. You know, everybody raves about the Saints and how loud that dome was. There was no louder place than that TWA dome when we were rocking it. I'll tell you that right now, from 99 to, well, I left in 02, but, you know, even when I had to play there as a Panther, the place was loud.
Rick, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it, bud.
All right. Rock and roll, Ricky Prohl. Nobody did that first down signal with more authority.
Hopefully no one's breaking into the place wherever he's at.
I was wondering if it was like a policeman doing – like street crossings or something. I don't know. Did it sound a little more like an alarm chirping?
It sounded like something was going off. Some guy crossed a wire or something and set it off.
Frank and I like to think that everybody stops whatever they're doing when we call, but sometimes I get the impression people haven't stopped what they're doing while talking to us.
Yeah, both of us, yeah.
It does happen.
All right, let's take a short time. When we come back, I want to tell you about the night programming or the night restaurant they have going here. It's not just a breakfast place. It is really cool at night. We'll tell you about that. But before we go to break, quick word about McBride Homes. Their union stimulus program is back. McBride has teamed up with the local construction unions to bring you the best home buying opportunity of the year. Buy now and get McBride Homes' best deal on a new home, plus get additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing from the local unions. It's the union stimulus program, and it's only during the month of February. McBride has over 40 communities across the metro St. Louis area with homes in every price point. And for every lifestyle, visit McBrideHomes.com for details on the union stimulus program. We'll be right back.